We're joined today by violinist Jamie Laredo and cellist Sharon Robinson, who will be performing August 29th at the Great Lakes Center for the Arts in Bay Harbor here in Northern Michigan. I'm so glad the two of you had the time to talk today.
It's a pleasure.
Great pleasure.
Since performance venues shut down because of the pandemic, this is one of the first indoor in-person concerts happening up here in a long time. How has it been for you? Have you played for an in-person audience yet?
No, and I tell you, we are so thrilled because this will be the first time that we are in front of an audience since March 7th.
Whoa.
That was our last concert in Miami.
We did that little duo concert.
Yes.
That was for nine people in Vermont.
We did it.
We
did a live streaming virtual concert. But I can't count that because it was, you know, it wasn't.
Just a few friends and family.
It was just, it wasn't a real concert with an audience. And we miss that so much, I can't tell you.
Well, I know a lot of folks have been trying to find ways to connect with their audience, like with live stream concerts and things like that. What are the ways that you've noticed the pandemic has affected your musical life the most?
Well, I mean,
no more concerts.
Our musical life has come to a halt. It's come to a grinding halt, and this is for everybody. And it's tragic thing, you know. It's a horrible thing. Thank goodness that we have been kept very busy because we teach a lot, and our school, you know, we've been able to teach virtually during March and April and May, and but now we're actually in Cleveland, and we are doing the Cleveland Institute of Music has opened, and we are doing lessons in person.
It's by choice. The students and the teachers have a choice of doing it in person or online. And we were both hungry to try it in person because CIM has made every effort to make the studios and the school very, very safe for, you know, small one-on-one lessons, or I actually have a couple of trios too, and my room is large enough so we can socially distance 6 feet apart. And they have made these plastic panels, see-through panels that are open at the top and the bottom, so sound goes through. And it's working very well. The ventilation is good at school. We brought air purifiers, and there's ventilation times between lessons too. So I think, you know, I'm feeling fairly confident. We've already finished 1 week of teaching, and we're looking forward to the next.
What's been so interesting for me is just how the kids have been reacting. They are so grateful to have in-person lessons. They are so, oh my God, the look on their faces and how they talk and how they sound. It's just, you know, it's so sad. It's just so sad.
I mean, practicing the violin or a cello or a piano or anything, trumpet, whatever, is a pretty solitary existence anyway. But to have been trapped since March in their practice rooms, and many of them, even here in Cleveland, you know, you can get out and walk, but that might be just about all they've done for the last few months. So we're very happy to at least give this a try. We also have a little chamber music series in Cincinnati, which we are going to keep trying to hold those concerts. But for right now in Ohio, the rule is that you can only have an audience of 10. So that's quite a small audience, but we are grateful to even get to have any out there that gets, you know.
And that will be live. That will be a live stream, you know, for our subscribers.
For folks outside of those 10
people. Yes, exactly.
You mentioned your students at the Cleveland Institute of Music. For someone looking at, from say age 20, a life in music, I think this might look quite different all of a sudden from what they thought. And what encouragement and advice do you offer them?
Well, for my current students who are in school now, I am encouraging them to do as much teaching as they can, get under their belt, to take the pedagogy classes here at CIM, and to one of my cellists actually switched her major to cello pedagogy. So she'll get a Suzuki degree and she'll be able to teach Suzuki to young people anywhere in the world with this degree. And at least she'll be able to, feed herself and pay her rent. I just don't know when orchestras are going to come back and have auditions. I'm trying to encourage our students to be as optimistic as possible, but truthfully, I don't know what the future holds. I think the music industry is going to be very, very slow in regaining its footing.
Well, I have to say, this is not only in music, it's in so many fields. And just, let's face it, something like this happens once in a century, thank God. Mm-hmm. And let's hope it'll be another century before it happens again.
It is providing encouragement for audiences and music lovers up here that you're playing a concert that they can go to at Bay Harbor in the Great Lakes Center for the Arts. Now, that's on the 29th. You have a performance at 5 and a performance at 8:30, and that allows for the distance between the audience members and makes it possible to have the required limited capacity. What will you be playing for that audience?
Well, our program is, of course, they're all duos for violin and cello, and it's a very varied and I think a really wonderful program. We are starting out with a Handel Passacaglia, then
arranged by Halvorsen.
Arranged by Johannes Halvorsen. Then we do a duo by Schulhoff. He is not a household word by any means, but I think one of the greatest composers ever. He unfortunately died very, very young. He was killed in a concentration camp during the Second World War. But the music that exists of his is just absolutely extraordinary. And this, I think, is one of the greatest pieces for this combination of violoncello.
We only started playing it about 5 years ago, or six years ago, and it's just a stunning masterpiece. We look forward to playing it every time.
And then we're doing a Mozart duo, and gotta have Mozart.
Yeah. I don't think anyone will complain.
No. And then we're ending with probably the most famous piece for violin and cello. It's by Kodály, Zoltán Kodály, the duo. And it's a real rouser and a wonderful, wonderful piece.
And the little known fact is Jamie got to play that at the Marlborough Music Festival for Kodály in...
about a century ago. During the last pandemic.
No.
Did you speak with him after that?
He was coached by him.
The cellist was Leslie Parnas, and we actually played it for him before the concert. I mean, we spent a couple of hours, coaching on it, and it was fascinating, really, really fascinating.
It's always such an honor and a joy to get to work with a composer, a living composer. You have so many questions about, the dots or the slurs or what character he was going for, and it's always enlightening for sure.
And you get a definitive answer.
That's right.
And we have had several duos written for us. We're not doing any of them on this program, but it's been a great honor to work with some of today's.
I mean, how I would love to ask Mozart so many questions.
Oh, I'd like to ask Brahms, Mr. Brahms, a few too.
Okay, well, I'll take a lead from that comment. If you could have dinner with a favorite composer, who would you want to sit down with?
Oh, my goodness. I think these days, Brahms. I think we both feel that way.
Yeah, we're crazy about Brahms, and he's definitely my desert island guy. I don't know whether he'd be so pleasant across the table. I don't know. He's probably a sloppy eater. But on a desert island, I think he'd be great. Oh, I love his music, and I can't live without it. Whenever I get to play Brahms, I'm happy.
When you're choosing repertoire for a program, do you sit down and say, now we're going to discuss what's going to be on this season's programs? Or as a couple, does this just flow throughout the day, or do you have times that are business times or shop talk off limits or anything like that? It's not all the time that we get to talk to a couple that collaborates in performance.
I think it's pretty much sort of throughout the day a thing. I don't think that we set aside time for saying, okay, now these 2 hours, we're only going to talk about music and about programs and about this and that.
There's always some politics thrown in.
Yes.
These days.
So I think it's just a throughout the day kind of thing.
But I will say that there is not a huge repertoire for violin and cello alone. So although we have enlarged the repertoire for duo quite a bit, including some double concertos, there's just not a tremendous amount of pieces. You always look for a sparkling opener or some kind of interesting opener to settle the audience. And you look for interesting things in the middle, maybe contrasting styles and speeds, and you want to end with something rousing. At least I do. So, and sometimes we pick out a couple of encores in case people clap a lot. So we've been making programs together for 40 years or more, 45 years probably. So it's not that hard for us.
Did you play together first, or did you get together first?
We played together first.
That's how we got together.
the great pianist Leon Fleischer, who just recently passed away, had a series of chamber concerts in Washington, D.C. And I was asked to play on a concert that Mr. Laredo at that time was playing. And I was thrilled. And so Mr. Fleischer introduced us, but it was not, he didn't have in mind that we would get together, but he thought we might be good together playing wise, and he was right.
And then somehow a few years later, it happened.
It took a couple years.
Now, I understand you spend time living in Vermont, is that right?
Right.
Now, that is just a beautiful area of the country. And Michigan is also known for a different kind of outdoor beauty. I wondered if, as you're coming to Michigan, are you planning on taking advantage of any of the outdoor activities in
Michigan? Well, we're staying right on the lake, so we're hoping to, you know, get some nice walks or hikes or maybe a swim in. I'm bringing my bathing suit.
Oh, for sure.
And we're driving up, so we get to see all the nice scenery on the way from Cleveland to Bay Harbor.
Well, the thing is, yeah, unfortunately, we're only there, you know, for 2 days, so we can't do much. But I know Michigan very well, been everywhere, I must say, but never been in the Upper Peninsula. And we were hoping that this time we might be able to do that, but it just didn't work out.
It's been such a pleasure hearing from the two of you today, and I just really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and our audience, many of whom will be at Bay Harbor in the Great Lakes Center for the Arts on August 29th.
Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure. And I have to say that we can't wait to be there and to play for people, for the real human beings. Thank you, Nancy. It was a pleasure.
Keep well, okay?
You too. Travel safe and have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.